recordings have been started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 20th of August, 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr. Olivi Kouame will be joining us a little later in the call. We have Jonathan Frost, Amr Elsdar, J. Scott Evans. Michael Graham will be joining a little bit later today as well. Stephanie Perrin, Chuck Gomes, Klaus Stoll, Ann Aikman-Scalise, and Greg Shatton. We have apologies from Tom Barrett and Avery Doria. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Mary Wong, Amy Bivens, Steve Chan, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, J. Scott.
Thank you very much, Terry. This is J. Scott Evans for the record. First, I want to ask, does anyone on the working group that is present have any updates to their statement of interest? Hearing none, we should move on. I'll reiterate that if you haven't looked at your statement of interest in some time, I would suggest you do so just to make sure it's up to date. You may think it is, and yet it's not. So our first item on the agenda is to look at the flow charts that we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks and to get sort of a consensus with regards to them so that we can then send them out, hopefully, to the various groups that are represented here to seek some high-level input on whether we believe that our work is headed in the right direction. It is our hope that parallel with the in gathering this high-level input from the various groups, that we would also have staff putting together a more detailed process document that we would then edit and work from as we begin to hone and refine this process down. And, of course, that's what eventually will be going out for public comment. So that's our plan. I think you'll notice that in this chart, it's been updated, and it's been updated to add some coloring to it. It's an orange on my screen. In several places on each of the charts, you'll see that there is either a completely orange box or the box has some sort of orange indication or shading to it. And those are areas where we believe we need to be very cognizant of as we begin planning the more detailed process. And it also may be something that we want to get some input from the various groups, constituencies, advisory groups, and things, as we begin to do that to see if anybody has any particular opinions, points, or concerns or red flags that they want to raise with regards to those particular points. So sort of setting out what I hope our goal will be when we finish up with this item, which is number two on our agenda today, I want to open it up to the floor to see if anyone, one, has any comments with regards to what I've just laid out as our sort of short-term plan with regards to gathering feedback, and two, if there are any particular comments with regards to the flowcharts themselves. Wow, are we really going to get off that easily? super. I'm not hearing any comments or concerns, so we'll assume that these flowcharts are at least in a good draft process that we can then elicit some input. Now, in doing so, we felt probably the most efficient and effective manner for seeking this input would be to have a template email that each of us in the working group would use as we solicited this input. So we make sure that everyone is receiving the information in a standard format with a standard request for what we're seeking back, in the hopes that it would cut down on the iterations caused due to maybe you know, nuances in wording and or meanings. And so if we just everyone got the same thing, we hoped that it would sort of cut that down. And I think Mary had sent around about 2 weeks ago a draft email, and then on our chairs call, which occurred about 15 or 25 minutes ago, Chuck raised a few issues, and with just regards to some wording on what we were seeking to make sure that we were really clear. And he was going to, during his enormous 15-minute break between the two calls, look at it and suggest some additional wording changes to this draft email. I think it's just come up in the Connect room. For those of you who are on Connect, you can see that here is the draft email that we'd suggested. Chuck, do you have any? Is this one been revised, or do you want to point out?
Let me look to see if this has my revision. I did send out some red lines. Looks like Marika wants to say something. Let her jump in.
Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. And just to facilitate review, as I think the initial email actually went to the chair, says I've just accepted the red lines, and this is the version that Chuck sends, including his edits. So just to clarify that.
Okay.
Thanks, Marika. Chuck, and I do see the changes. As you were talking previously, though, I realize there's probably a couple more edits, but I'll talk about those when it's appropriate.
Anne?
Yes, thanks, Jay Scott. It's Anne. I am reading what's on the screen, and I notice that in the second paragraph, we still have references to a proposed policy guidance process and a proposed policy input process. Are those? Did we change those in the chart to GNSO guidance process and G? Did we move to GGP in the new?
I think we'll make sure that I think you are correct, Anne. This is Jay Scott for the record. That on last week's call, I believe there were some title changes with regards to what the process were called, to make it clearer for what they could be used for. And I note that Marika has notated that as well as Cheryl and Mary. So we just need to go in and clean that up. But thank you for bringing that forward.
Okay.
Are there any?
This is Chuck again, Jay Scott.
Yes.
And one of the things you said in your introductory remark, which I thought were correct, is that we may want feedback on those the orange boxes. So I guess my question right now is, do we want, the way it's worded right now, we're just asking whether or not they think we're going in the right direction. If we also want to ask for any feedback they may have in terms of the thresholds in the orange boxes or anything else related to the orange boxes, we would welcome that too. If so, we need to add that to the email, and I can do that after this call.
I'm coming.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. I see that Cheryl agrees with that, and Anne has another question. Anne?
Yes, thank you, Jay Scott. Just two questions again regarding that middle paragraph. There's a reference to high-level processes in addition to those that are currently available. And I'm wondering if high-level processes could trigger anything, any kind of negative reaction. And my second question is similar in terms of language, because at the end of that paragraph we say, where policies already adopted by the ICAM board may need reexamination. I think that's probably realistic, and that's what actually goes on. But again, I'm wondering if there could be a negative trigger where somebody might be saying, hey, why are we trying to imply here that policies that are already made, you know, are going to be re-examined all the time. And so I almost would prefer that we say clarification or policies already adopted may need clarification. Do you see what I'm trying to avoid here in terms of an overreaction to well, hey, that policy process, we already went through that.
Right. This is Jay Scott. I get, having lived in this ecosystem far too long, that it's amazing the words that can be incendiary. So I do think we need to be careful about our terminology and phraseology to try to, at least as best we can, allow our experience to inform us and try to, if possible, steer clear of certain pitfalls. So I appreciate the fact that you are raising a red flag there, Chuck.
Thanks, J. Scott, and thanks, Anne. So in that last sentence, would it work to say may need clarification or updating?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm suggesting, yeah.
Okay, after the call, I'll get that, because there's a couple of things done as well. And also, we need to add, I guess I need an answer to the question that I asked. Do we also want feedback on the threshold and any other input on the orange-colored boxes at this time? If so, I can add a sentence to that that covers that in our request for feedback. But I need to know whether we want that at this time. Or do we just want to, this is Chuck again, do we just want to find out whether we're heading in a proper direction at this time?
I see Marika's hand is up, and then we will go to Anne. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. One thing you may want to do is to point out in the letter, noting that, you know, you'll see orange boxes, and those are already areas that the working group has identified that will need, you know, further review at the moment that further details are available, so that people are at least aware that those are some of the area where, you know, further focus will take place. And then mention, of course, if any specific input on those areas, and, you know, is also welcome, but indeed there will be another opportunity to look at that once a more detailed description is available.
Okay. I agree with that, too. I see Almer. This is Jay Scott for the record. I see Almer and Anne agree with that. I don't see any objections.
Yeah, I agree, too. I'm just away from the screen for a moment.
Okay. All right. Cheryl agrees as well. So I think here's my suggestion. My suggestion is, if everyone is comfortable with the concept of sending out a letter.
I'm listening to a meeting. I can't.
Okay. If everyone's comfortable with the concept of this, I would suggest that we do some editing, and then we send it around to the group for a blessing. Chuck, are you raising your hand again, or is that an old hand?
I am, Jay Scott. Thanks. I realize there's one point that Anne made that I didn't respond to, the one about in the middle of the second paragraph where it says high-level processes. That was actually my attempt to fix language that said clearly delineated processes, because they're not clearly delineated yet. And do you have a suggestion as to how what I was trying to do there? We haven't clearly delineated them yet, so we don't want to say that. They're still at a high level, and that's why I said what I said. But if you have a suggestion for what might be better, I would warmly welcome that.
Great. Jay Scott, may I have the floor?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Chuck, I think... I wonder if what we're trying to say here is more expedient processes or something like that. I think probably what the trigger on the high level that I was worried about was are we trying to invoke processes that aren't going to include the entire GNSO community? Are we speaking of, you know, a high-level process as something that we're saying, well, you know, the council gets to decide this or whatever, and that could trigger some reaction from certain, you know, constituencies? And in particular, So it kind of seems like what we're trying to do is get the organization to work more effectively and be able to respond to, you know, need for guidance more quickly. And I'm wondering if we should say to outline more expedient or efficient, or I don't have the exact words. I'm sorry.
Well, I get your points, and so let me take a crack at it, and then we'll send it around to the whole list with the red lines.
Okay, thank you.
And feel free to come up with other ideas. This
okay,
is Chuck,
thank
by
you.
The way.
Stephanie?
Hi, Stephanie Perrin for the record. It just seemed to me, and I there's nothing wrong with the words high level, but somehow this paragraph, and I'm putting on my sensitivity feelers because, as was pointed out earlier, there's so many inflammatory things about revisiting decisions and the board shortcutting, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So are we not trying to institutionalize processes that would replace ad hocery? That's not a good word, but in which case you're trying to not just outline, but set in place administrative procedures to replace ad hoc response. Or is that too firm?
Well, okay, thank you, Stephanie. This is Jay Scott again. Why don't we just say that we're setting forth a flow chart outlining additional processes to those that are currently available, and then maybe add an additional sentence that says the flow charts are intended to outline these processes at a high level. And then something like that. So we just tell them it's a flow chart. Okay, Chuck, and then Ann.
Thanks again, Jay Scott. Chuck speaking. And I just wanted to comment, the use of the words outlining and high level and so forth weren't intended to imply how they would be used. Rather, the working group hasn't provided enough detail yet, and we know that. They're still at a high our outline of the processes is still at a high level. That's what we were trying to communicate there. So because if the people we're asking feedback from look at them, they're going to be asking the same questions we have, and it'll be much more complicated. We do want their input on that, but it's still at a high level. So we recognize that, and we want to know if we're going in the right direction. Now, I like, Jay Scott, what you suggested, and I'll try and incorporate that. We've created a flow chart outlining some possible additional processes, and I'll try and bring all these thoughts together. I'm sure they will need more fixing, but I welcome that from the rest of you.
Okay. Ann?
Yes, thank you, Jay Scott. I also liked your suggestion. And I wanted to say that it might actually be helpful to us to refer to the charter where there's a question, I think, about developing a policy guidance process. In other words, citing to that question in the context of this sentence might be, you know, hey, we are doing what the charter asked, you know, a question. We're looking at a question the charter asked us to address.
Okay.
So,
thanks, Ann.
Okay.
So the next question I have for the group is, should this come from the chairs and vice chairs, or should it come from the working group members to their designated organization? Does anyone have a point of view?
This is Chuck, if I can jump in without putting my hand up. I kind of like the idea of the representatives sending it, and then it provides a real easy line of communication with the group they represent. I think that's a positive. Now, if we have a group that's not represented, then it might be appropriate for it to come from the chair. But that's my personal opinion.
Okay. And Anne seems to agree with you on that. That sounds fine to me, and I don't see anyone strongly disagreeing with that.
Cheryl here. Okay. Jay Scott, I'm not disagreeing in any way, shape, or form. I think internally, and the main focus should be internally to the GNSO, that's an ideal way forward. But for external, perhaps to the working from the working group to chairs of the other ACs and SOs, it should probably come from the chairs of the working group.
Okay. So we sort of have two that agree with that. Marika, your hand is up.
This is Marika. I think I'm kind of agreeing where Cheryl's coming from, because I think also from a tracking perspective, because it would be good indeed, at least if we can see where messages have gone out, if possible follow-up is needed as well, how information may come back. And of course, there's as well the situation that in many groups are represented by more than one member, so that we need to sort out who is the person that would send it to that group, or is the joint message. So I think from a logistical perspective, it may be easier for the chairs to send it, and still it's for those working group members that have been actively involved, you still may want to copy some of those in, or at least let them know that the message has gone out, so they can follow up within their respective groups that this has been communicated.
Okay. How about, this is Jay Scott for the record, that I propose a compromise, and that would be it come from the chairs and vice chairs with a copy to the designated person, and we might suggest in this email that they reach out to the designated person who's copied above and submit their feedback. Does that sound workable? Cheryl agrees, and I'm seeing no disagrees. So what I'd like to do then is to circulate a redrafted version of this letter in the next day or so, and I'd like us to get it approved, fairly quickly, probably by early next week, and maybe we can put a deadline on that. If we don't hear back from anyone, we'll assume it's approved, and give them a deadline in which to comment. And then we will then begin getting it ready to go out. Does that sound like a plan? Good. Chuck?
Thanks, Jay Scott. I still don't have an answer to my question about whether we want to request feedback on the orange-colored boxes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we did, because there was a big discussion in the chat. I should have pointed that out. It looks like everyone thinks there's no harm in doing that, and it would not be. We could point out, as Marika had stated, that these are areas that we know that will need further consideration as we go through this process, and invite them, if they have any concerns or thoughts with regards to those, that they send it forward. I think that's where we ended up, but I could be mistaken.
Thanks, Jay Scott. It's Chuck, and obviously I wasn't monitoring the chat closely enough.
And it looks like Almer is saying he agrees with that. Okay. All right. Now, as most of you know, early on we sent some requests for thoughts to some of the stakeholder groups, constituencies, and supporting organizations, requesting that they come back to us with any information they might have with regards to enumerated questions that we put forth. We asked for a lot of information. We gave them a lot of information. Three of those groups, the ISPCPs, the registries, and the ALAC all responded in writing with their particular input. Several of the other groups said that they would get back to us in public comment when we did our final report. So in order to, for transparency purposes and just out of common courtesy, Chuck came up with the idea and has drafted a set of letters, two of which everyone has seen because they were circulated with the agenda and with the chart that we just looked at earlier this week. So the, and that was to the ALAC and to the ISPCP. And so those have come out and been reviewed, and I didn't see anyone making any particular comment or statement that they shouldn't go out. So with regard to those two, I just want to say thank you very much. I think that I think this is the one with regards to ALAC that everyone has looked at and seen, and we've all agreed is an order to be sent. It basically, I'm going to let Chuck sort of let you know what he's done here so that everyone can see, you know, and hear from the author what his intention was and what was done here. Chuck?
Thanks, J. Scott. And I want to start off by thanking Michael and Olivie and Cheryl for the work they did in taking a look at those statements that we received and kind of summarizing the points that were made. That made my job of drafting these letters much, much easier, so I'm very appreciative of that. And basically what I tried to do in the letters, besides just thanking them, is to highlight a few of their comments, not all of them, because they would have been too long. And pointing out where we've already considered the input that they provided, or whether it's going to be considered in the future, whether we've already kind of agreed with them on something, things like that. And you can read it. I don't have to go say any more there. And then encourage them to continue to provide us input through their representatives or through through future requests for comments. So that's really what it is. If either Mary or Marika could send out the one to the registry stakeholder group, which was just done today, that would be great. If anybody has any comments on those letters, if you could respond this week so that we can meet Jay Scott's timeline of getting this thing done by early next week, that would be great.
So I'm not sure this one has been circulated to the full group, so we will do that at the end of today's call to make sure that you all have time to review it. And hopefully, let's say, if you have any questions or concerns with regards to this, if you could get back to us prior to close of business specific daylight time in the United States on Friday, so that's 5 p.m. Cheryl, we're going by the normal person's work day, not yours, 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on Friday, August 22nd. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments regarding this or the other two letters to the constituencies and stakeholder groups, if you would let us know, we will make sure that those are considered prior to putting these in final form. I'm sorry, Anne, I just noticed your hand is up.
Yes, thank you, J. Scott. It just went up. It seems to me that when we write back to those who provided input, we should probably include something about the process that went on when we met in London, where I think, you know, you guys underlined and we all agreed that the work of this working group needed to be expedited and that there were, you know, pressures within the community to develop a more effective, you know, way of resolving, you know, disagreements and whatnot, and reflecting the fact that, you know, there's a reason we went directly to the development of the GG chief process, and that somehow that there should be a connection between these letters and what these groups will be asked to review immediately before a September 12 deadline.
Okay. So, Jay Scott, summarize what I heard you saying is you think that there should be some reference that ties into the email that will be coming around regarding the charts, so they'll be looking for it and lets them know that we're going to be that this work has led to these charts, and we want them to review those and get back with us, so that we just alert them to the connection between the two and that this is coming.
Right, and maybe even to, you know, a recognized need on the part of the working group that these processes need to be, that the deliverables need to be expedited. And I don't know, you know, to my mind, this is what happened in London in June. I don't know how you want to describe that or if you'd prefer not to.
This is Jay Scott. From my experience, anytime you say stuff like that, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Okay.
I don't think we should put false time pressures on us. I think we're moving as fast as we can. Marika, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Yeah, this is Marika. I don't actually recall us talking about expedited. I think the only thing we discussed in London is whether we should go back to weekly meetings to keep momentum going, also keeping in mind the original work plan that we had set, you know, to try and deliver an initial report by the LA meeting, which I don't think we'll probably make unless we make a lot of progress on the other charter question. So yeah, I'm not sure. I think that the term expedited is probably what we've been doing or trying to do, at least from my perspective, but maybe I've missed something.
Okay, Anne?
That makes perfect sense to me in terms of what the group is trying to do. I guess when I read these letters, we talk in terms of how we are trying to take their feedback into account, and there's a lot of discussion about here is how we'll take into account what you believe policymaking is and what you believe implementation is. And I think the working group has, in a way, moved beyond those questions, and that's where I'm, you know, finding a bit of a disconnect, I guess, because the input seemed to be directed at distinguishing between policy and implementation, and yet it appears to me that our recommended solution to these issues says that's a false question. So that's all that I ask that we consider. I don't need to belabor it anymore. Maybe I could, you know, provide some feedback offline.
Okay. I'm going to go to Cheryl, then Marika, then Chuck.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Cheryl, for the record. I see what you're saying, Anne, but I guess I'm not particularly concerned along the same lines, because what I see this letter's doing, and indeed what other more chart or graphic-based efforts in some other work groups have done in the past, where one goes through and specifically addresses and lists the response, the reaction, and the outcome of everything everyone comments on by a work group. I mean, this is work that does get done in work groups, needs to get done in work groups, we should be doing. And it fits with what the first Accountability and Transparency Review team had as part of its recommendations, which meant that you had a closer and more open communication modality between people who are commenting in public comments and the work that they're commenting on. So it's I think, a really useful thing. I guess I'm seeing the letters as even better meeting those needs than these more tabular mechanisms that have been included in reports in the past. That's not to minimise that. I think they're still important, those tabular responses. But I see this as a very good step forward. Let's stop before I choke to death. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go to Marika.
Yes, thanks, Jay Scott. Just maybe to Anne's point, one way of addressing your concern maybe in the letter we spoke about before is really make clear that that talks or those flow charts are addressing one charter question. It doesn't mean that the working group is done or is ignoring the other questions that have been asked. It's just that we still need to get to those, but we really want to at least share what we've been doing so far so people don't are not taken by surprise when we come up with more detailed recommendations. So maybe that's something in the other letter we can make more clear that it's really specifically related to one specific charter question and that the working group is still working and will be working on the other charter questions that address as well some of the other issues.
Great. Thank you, Marika. Chuck?
Thanks, Jay Scott, and everybody else's comment. First of all, let me point out that there's a mix of, in each of the letters, there's a mix of input that was talked a little bit about from the specific group. Some are things we've covered. Some are things we haven't covered yet. So it's not as if we're covering issues that we're just talking about issues that we've already decided. In those cases, that's stated. In other cases, it's something we're coming up to. In one case, I remember, I think in the one I wrote today, is it's something we're just about to get into. It's not just issues that we've already made decisions on. So I just wanted to point that out in the letters. And I think it's important that we think of these letters from the point of view of the three organizations that are involved. They submitted the comments. This is feedback to them specifically, and not look at it so much from the point of view of the working group as it is to, we're trying to thank them, give them an idea that we're considering their input and will consider their input further as we're moving forward and so forth. I think it's helpful to look at the letters from their perspective, less from ours.
Thank you so much, Chuck. Okay. So, again, our hope is that you all will look at these letters. There are three of them. Two went out in the email on Tuesday, I believe it was, that had the information with regards to this meeting today. The third will go out after this meeting. That's the letter that's before you that's going to the registry stakeholder group. And if you have any comments, concerns, or anything else, if you would make those to the list prior to close of business, Pacific Daylight Time, 5 p.m., on Friday, August 22nd, that would be greatly appreciated so that we can hopefully get these letters out early next week to the various groups that were kind enough to participate in our information gathering early on in the process. That's great. In that regard, I'm also hopeful that sometime in the next 24 hours, we will also have the draft email that we looked at earlier. And if you would do, look at it and get comments to us, let's say, if it goes out in the next 24 hours, if you could have comments to us by close of business on Monday, which is the 25th, I believe, of August, by close of business Pacific Daylight Time, then we could get that out as well. We'd want to space these somewhat, but not a huge amount of time has to occur between the two. And then we can mark those two things off our list as completed action items and move this thing forward. So that's sort of our takeaway from today with regards to these items. Does anyone have any additional questions, concerns, or comments regarding any of the communications and or the chart that we were reviewing earlier, the version of the chart? All right. I'll now ask if Mary or Marika, I'm not sure who's controlling our room today, could put up our deliverable one matrix. Because there are some questions, as you will see in the parenthetical in our agenda, that we need to sort of consider because we had slightly put those to the back of the list, saying that we would consider these after we looked at the other issues, A through D. So if you'll scroll down, because you all have the power to scroll, the scroll bar is between the agenda tab on the right and the main screen. And if you will scroll down, you'll get to section E. And the question is, I think we started talking about one of these because I sort of have in the back of my memory the fact that we heard from Alan on one of the questions. But questions, I'll read them, the first one for the group. What options are available for policy, parenthetical, quote, consensus policy, end of quote, or other, end of parenthetical, and implementation efforts, and what are the criteria for determining which is used? Then there are sub-questions under each of these, the first being, are policy and implementation on a spectrum rather than binary? The second sub-question is, what are the flavors of, quote, policy, end of quote, and what consequences should attach to each flavor? And C, what happens if you change those consequences? I will open it up to the group to say, you know, what are the options for the policy and implementation efforts, and what are the criteria for determining which should be used? Does anyone have any thoughts? You look at the discussions we've had to refresh your memory. If you look in the far right-hand column of this chart that's in the center of the page, you'll see some of the points that have been made with regards to question A. Most people felt like they were on a spectrum. So, with regards to B, oh, Alan has joined us and has raised his hand. Alan?
Yeah, I guess I'm feeling having a little bit of a feeling of deja vu because we've been discussing this, you know, sort of all of the work we've done to date really is focusing on this kind of question. And so to some extent, the answer is on the formal books, right now all we have is the formal PDP and ad hoc processes that have been acceptable to the community, and each time we've done one, it's been different, and, you know, we rarely reuse the same process again, and, you know, in general, we have picked them based on whatever felt right at the moment. I don't think there's anything more definitive. Hopefully coming out of this process, we're going to have something more concrete, but at this point, it's been the PDP or ad hoc.
Yeah, I think you may be right. This is Jay Scott for the record. That was Alan Greenberg for the record that just spoke. I think you may be right. And I think as I sort of look at our discussions, our thought was that we wanted to take the whole point of doing the processes, right? The different processes was to take the emphasis off of trying to define it as policy implementation, policy and or implementation, and look at more of what the ultimate outcome was, and that would put it through a certain decision tree, which translates into one of these additional processes, right? Either the PDP, either the light or fast-track PDP, or either, you know. So I think that was our whole point, is to, you would sort of look at where you plan to end up, and that helps you identify which of these processes are the most suitable to giving you the outcome that you're attempting to achieve. So I think that's how we answer this question, is we try to take the emphasis off that so that these questions no longer are the center of the debate. So does anyone have any comments or concerns or agree, disagree? I see we have two hands go up almost simultaneously. And being a Southern gentleman, I'm going to go with Anne.
Thanks, Jay Scott. I'll try to be brief. I agree with you as far as those remarks. And as I look at these questions, I think we probably need to be mostly concerned about what are the consequences if established processes are not followed. So it's when we say, what happens if you change those consequences? When we say, what are the flavors of policy and what consequences should attach to each flavor? When we did our study of items that, you know, historically have been taken care of on an ad hoc basis, those could almost be correlated with, you know, the use of the word flavors here. And what one can see from our study is that there are adverse consequences when, you know, there are not established policy or guidance processes that can be followed to resolve those kinds of issues. So again, these questions may need to be rephrased or answered in the manner you suggested or in that manner, citing to the fact that we studied those flavors and they weren't, you know, that attractive.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chuck.
Thanks, J. Scott and Ann, and also Alan for the question or issue you raised. First of all, I think that Ann may have given us a nice response for one of them at least. So hopefully we can get that out of the transcript or whatever. But I think Alan's right that we have covered a lot of these things. It is deja vu. For sure, we have hit on some of these things. Well, then all we need to do is to capture the conclusions that we've come to based on the work we've already done. We don't need to spend a lot of time on it. But secondly, I wanted to point out, and this is fresh in my mind, and not because I'm from the registry, because of the work Cheryl did in drafting that letter today to the registries. They provided responses to each one of these. So would you like me to read those responses to each of these questions just for input, not because the registries are right or anything, but because we want to consider their input?
I don't have a problem with you refreshing our memory as to what they had to say.
Okay, just Chuck again. First of all, our policy and implementation on a spectrum rather than binary? They had a very short answer, yes, which I think is a conclusion that we've kind of come to as ourselves in the working group. B, what are the flavors of policy and what consequences should attach to each flavor? The registry response is a little longer on this one. It's not clear that policies come in flavors. If flavors mean categories, here are some possibilities. Simple versus complex, explicit versus general, policies with well-defined implementation details versus those with few implementation details. They go on, implementation of policies that are simpler, more explicit, and that contain considerable implementation guidance will be much easier to implement. But depending on the issues involved, it will not always be possible to develop simple and explicit policies with very clear implementation guidelines. And that's the end of their response to question B. Then question C, what happens if you change those consequences? The registry response was as follows. It seems more realistic to be able to change the flavors than to change the consequences. Efforts can be made to develop policies that are as simple and explicit as possible, and to include as much implementation guidance as possible. These are worthy goals, and there will likely be limitations on achieving them for some policy issues. So ultimately, there will be cases where the negative consequences are unavoidable. And that's the end of their responses.
Okay. All right, any comments? Okay. Well, then I if we don't have any comments, you know, my suggestion is that we simply close out here, knowing that you know, yes, it's on the spectrum. That there are different types of policy, and in the past that they have been, this is J. Scott for the record, they have been dealt with in a somewhat ad hoc fashion, and that's caused a lot of frustration both in the process and in the outcome, and frustration and uncertainty. And what happens if we change those consequences? You know, it's hopeful that we'll provide us more stability and certainty of outcome. And then that's our answer, and we move on now to next week doing deliverable 2 and 3. Does that sound workable for everybody? I'm seeing some green checks. Lots of green checks. Good. So that's what we'll do. We'll capture that and get those in our charts. We have them for our record. With that, I'm going to thank everybody for their time. Remind you all to please look at the three letters and get your comments in. Also, to look for and expect to receive soon this template email that will be going out to the various constituencies, working SOs, supporting organizations and stakeholder groups, and make sure that you're comfortable with that and get any comments with regards to that back to us. And we will meet again on the 27th at the same time. We appreciate it very much, and we look forward to talking with you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, J. Scott.
Bye.
Thank you, J. Scott. Chuck, everybody. Bye.
Okay. Once again, the meeting has adjourned. Please disconnect all remaining lines, and thank you very much for joining. Enjoy the rest of your day.